This is Dave Gloetz. I'm here with Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader. Welcome to the broadcast, Ben.
Welcome to my house.
Today we're talking about Ben's column titled Stimulus, Chicago Style, that appeared in the Reader on March 26th, 2009. This article dissects exactly what Chicago gets from Miller Coors for the combined city and state subsidy of $24 million to locate its headquarters in downtown Chicago at 250 South Wacker Drive, a location which I guess you're not crazy about, but there's a really nice photo by Mick Dumke in the Reader. It's not a bad photo, eh?
Lovely building.
I like the photos better than the building.
Let's give money to the photo.
For some reason, it looks better online, crisper.
It's a bad comment on the state of the future of newspapers. It looks better online.
An unintended nail in the coffin of print.
Ouch.
Last week, we talked about the subsidy through tax increment financing from the city of Chicago to Miller Coors for this location. That's part of the $24 million. The other part is $18 million from the state of Illinois. And according to clawback.org, that includes $17.5 million in corporate income tax credits over 15 years. A $500,000 grant for capital improvements and $325,000 for employee training. I don't know if you care because, as you point out, Miller Coors may not be creating that many new jobs because they're bringing some people down from Milwaukee and presumably from Colorado. But I learned that the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity has a website in which you can look at reports from corporations that receive state subsidies like this training money. And they have to report every year how many jobs have actually been created as a result of the economic benefits they've been getting. Like, here's a list of all the companies in Chicago that got this sort of employee training money that Miller Coors is getting. There's a bunch of people. CDW, some other ones our listeners may know is Navtec.
Yeah, they also got TIF money.
Okay.
Yeah.
United Airlines, Wrigley.
They got TIF money.
Tootsie Roll.
Interesting. Yeah, this is really great.
And our listeners can access that website through the description of this interview at MrRadio.org. And then it shows how many positions they sort of promised to create and how many they actually have at the end of the year.
You know, one thing I've learned about government reports is that you really have to take them apart. This is basically the city I'm dealing with, so when it comes to the city, you absolutely have to pick it apart, ask some questions.
All right, so this report lets citizens figure out whether corporations are creating jobs, but I sense that that's not what you think is relevant here.
I think the overall thrust of the program is driven by Mayor Daley's desire to have corporate headquarters in Chicago. I mean, that's, I think there's three or four TIF deals just for corporate headquarters in the last couple of years. Navtec was one. United Airlines was another. The company that makes, oh, is it plywood? I'm trying to remember its name. They got one. The Miller Coors is the fourth.
Boeing was in 2004.
Yeah, Boeing sort of got us going with this. Yeah. Most of their money is not TIF money, but they did get a little TIF money. Anyway, there's about four or five that I've looked at, and in every single instance, I've come to the conclusion that it wasn't worth the amount of money that we gave them. In my opinion, Mayor Daley's opinion is that just having Chicago as an address and a corporate headquarters rebounds to our benefit. It makes us a stronger, more vibrant city. I disagree with that as a fundamental aspect of economic development, and I'm probably in the minority. Most of the bigwigs in Chicago seem to think that it makes Chicago a more attractive city if a Boeing or a United Airlines calls Chicago its corporate headquarters.
But other experts agree with you. I did a little looking around, and studies consistently show that these sorts of incentives don't have the desired effects in the long run in terms of jobs or a larger tax base. This is cited by a guy named Harold Wolman, who wrote as early as 1988 about this in the Journal of Urban Affairs. So Wolman has cited these various studies, and it's your sense. It begs the question, then, how do we put an end to this practice? There's a guy named Warren Meyer, who is an author and management consultant, who suggests three approaches. One is sort of a local approach, and two are national. His first approach is citizens pressure local governments to stop, you know. That's what you're trying to, you know.
Power to the people.
That's what you're trying to incite here, right?
Yeah.
Secondly, local governments could get together and make a pact, no new subsidies, you know, maybe within the context of U.S. Council of Mayors. And the third approach that Meyer talks about is that a higher authority, perhaps the federal government, restricts the subsidy practice, and there's been some movement in federal court to see if it's unconstitutional.
Okay.
So what do you think of those approaches?
Well, I think that each one of those ideas has its limitations and its advantages. I would just say, in terms of Chicago, and what I concentrate on, and this is why I spend so much time concentrating on it, I think that reforming our TIF program would be the first important step, and I'll tell you why. The reason Mayor Daley feels so free to dish out this money is because there's virtually no oversight on this program. That's why I keep harping on this, because the way this program is set up, it encourages this kind of waste and inefficiency and dictatorial power in almost every single instance, so that it's really hard to make any kind of positive assessment about the overall program. I could like this or that TIF subsidy that's gone to this or that company that I really think does good work and deserves it and needs it and is going to use it to a good advantage. But the way the program is collectively operated, the good things are dwarfed by the bad things. If Mayor Daley had to justify this $6 million as part of the regular budget process so that it was equated on the line with whether we fill a pothole or whether we give police a raise or whether we have to close schools or whether we can hire more teachers. If there was like a reasonable understanding of the cost of this $6 million, then I don't think they would be so free to throw this money around.
There would be scrutiny.
There would be scrutiny, and the alderman would have to make, you know, very tough public decisions. Because this money is lost, in effect, it's off the budget, it's free for Mayor Daley to spend as he wants. And so that's why we have this. So just on a local level, the most obvious reform is to take away this program from this man. I don't think the city has shown itself capable of restraining itself time and time again. This MillerCorps $6 million subsidy, I understand $6 million in the total scheme of our budget is relatively minor. But again, it's like the AIG bonuses. It's just so illogical. It doesn't make sense on any level. They don't need the money. It's not a blighted community. The building they're moving into is not historically significant, so you're not preserving a beautiful old building. You're not adding jobs in that people who are unemployed in Chicago can suddenly have an opportunity to get a job. You're just literally stealing jobs from other cities. You're not even helping the Loop as a whole, because there were other buildings in the Loop that were petitioning for MillerCorps to be their tenant. And so effectively, you're giving one landlord a break over another landlord, and you're using their common tax dollars to do so.
So it's like a poster child for everything that's wrong with TIF program.
It is a poster child for just one element of the TIF program that's wrong. And I didn't really hammer this in the story, that it's going to, what is it, the second largest beer manufacturer in the country or the world? I'm not sure. It's a huge corporation that just laid off a bunch of people when it merged Miller's and Coors, I think is astounding. It's like we're rewarding their behavior. I mean, they didn't do something beneficial to society as a whole. They may have done things beneficial to their stockholders. They may have done things beneficial to their CEOs, but to society as a whole, all they did was eliminate jobs, and now we're rewarding them with $6 million.
This is similar to the point made by people who argue that these subsidies are ineffectual, because they say these corporations have to go somewhere, and if you're giving them an incentive in Chicago, net effect for the country is not going to be helpful, because they're going to go somewhere. So if everybody decided not to give them a subsidy, there still would be creating jobs somewhere.
I agree, and my buddy Mick Dumke made this point to me when we were first talking about this. I don't feel good about stealing jobs from Milwaukee. If you're going to use tax dollars to try to stimulate jobs, do startup companies that have potential for growth that might create something new. I know those are ventures. Those are, you know, risky. They could go out of business. But I think there's more long-term growth possibilities. By the way, this is a point that got cut from the story, a delightful little contrast. The people who are taking this subsidy and coming here are not required to live in Chicago. So there's no residency requirements, yet city employees who make far less than $6 million will never even approach $6 million in their entire career, have to live in Chicago. So I find that a curious inconsistency. I could argue, okay, if you tell the 300-plus people you have to move to Chicago, then you could say, okay, well, it benefits our tax base. There's relatively well-to-do people will be moving here. They'll be sending their kids to the school, et cetera, et cetera. But they don't have to. Only firefighters, teachers, policemen. For some reason, they have to live in Chicago, but the recipients of TIF subsidies don't have to live in Chicago. That is a curious oversight and inconsistency.
Well, it looks like we're participating in the first method that Meyer talked about, trying to inspire citizens to get local government to make a reform. And as you say, the local reform that would make the most difference is with the tax increment financing program. Ben Jarofsky, the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Dave.
This is Dave Gloetz. We've been speaking about the rest of the story. When you have a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.